This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The name of the book, From Chaos to Clarity, The Simplest Story Ever Told. And the author is Wayne C. Kellis. And Wayne joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Steve. How are you today?
Well, we're going to learn about the Bible and how it all fits together. And I love your approach, as you say, the simplest story ever told. Let me read what you've written about your book. The book begins with the story of creation and follows the Bible narrative all the way to its end. It tells the basic story of the major characters of the Bible with an eye to what God is doing to bring about the redemption of man through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You also say there are many, many books that teach us how to apply portions of the teaching of scriptures to our lives. There are many books that are deeply theological and cannot be comprehended without significant study. My book is for the beginner and the curious. It cuts to the heart of the message and tells the story in simple, straightforward language. I've never found a book that meets this need. So you've done it. You've written the book to help the beginner and the curious to understand the Bible. Wayne, why did you decide to do this?
Well, two or three reasons, really. I've recognized over the years that many, many people really want to know what's in the Bible. They want to understand it, but they don't. Even the people who read it, they pick it up and they read in places. They don't understand what they're reading. And there's not as much serious Bible study these days as there was in times past. And it's just a real need for people to be able to understand the message. The truth is that people are intimidated. And I actually didn't even set out to write a book, Steve. I was led a Bible study in my home for years now, but for about a year, we went through the scriptures, just basically telling the story and tying it all together. And when we got through, one of my daughters just kept insisting that I write it out for her, just put it in writing so that she could really understand. And when we finished, it really felt like a book, and she wanted to have it published, so here we are.
Well, good for you and good for everyone. And I guess your book really answers the question, is it really possible to understand the entire Bible?
Hey, you know, that's a great question. You know, obviously, nobody claims to understand all of the mysteries, everything about the Bible. The idea that there are no questions left is just not the point at all. Clearly, I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything in the Bible. But my point is that the basic story of the Bible is quite understandable, quite sensible, and not even hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp unless somebody directs you a little bit because it's not written chronologically. Stories are all over the place, but, you know, there are a lot of people who read the Bible for years and they couldn't tell you if Daniel comes first or Moses comes first or how they related. So we don't make the claim that everything in the Bible is simple, but the basic story of the Bible is for everyone. And it really is pretty simple.
You say you've been through the arrogant stage, thinking that you had all the answers and assuming having the answers somehow improved your status before God. Do you think this is a kind of thinking that a lot of Christians have?
Yeah, it's been my experience. You know, I'm a member of a conservative Christian group, or most people would call us conservative, and we just believe in the inspiration of the scriptures, and we think that the answers to everything's in the scriptures and our understanding of those scriptures. Now, it's noble to look to scripture for everything and all of the answers of life. That, it's a noble calling, but when you really get to the point that you feel like you actually understand everything correctly and don't leave really room for other people's opinions, then you've really stepped over the line. And in this book, I don't try to answer any of the doctrinal questions. I don't try to get into which denomination or group of believers someone was better off belonging to. That's not my business at all. My only business is to really tell the story of the Bible, and obviously with an eye toward Jesus and what God has done through him, which is the story of the Bible. But this is not some doctrinal, some biased book. It is just a simple telling of the story.
And God's message to mankind was never meant to be hidden or difficult to understand.
Well, that's exactly right. He never intended that it should be. You know, there we went through some dark ages where the Bible really wasn't even printed. It wasn't in wasn't written in the common languages of the day. And at one point, it was even chained to pulpits. But you know, I don't know why. Maybe because it's a pretty thick book. But for some reason, people have just got it in their head that somehow it can't really be understood. And God has always intended that we all understand, you know, His will for man.
Why do you think, as a nation, which it seems to be true, is that we've gotten so far from this serious study of the Scriptures? What's happened?
Wow, boy, that's a deep question, and I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer, but I can just tell you what I think. I think that we have become, on the one hand, materialistic, and there's less of a focus on spiritual things. But now people are turning toward a spiritual mentality, but it's sort of a relativism. It's almost anything anybody thinks is as good as something else. And my book is really based on the understanding that the Bible itself is authoritative. And the claims that it makes, that are made in it of exclusivity are, you know, they're real. They exclude certain other things from being true. But at the end of the day, and back to your point, I'm sorry for wandering. At the end of the day, I hate to say it like this, but I think that people are so used to listening to music, this and that, and internet, Facebook, all. I think that we've just gotten away from being able to spend the time or willing to spend the time focused, actually learning something.
We want to be.
I don't know that that's a good answer, but that's what I have.
Right. Well, I agree with you. We want to be entertained.
I wish I had just said that. We want to be entertained. That's the problem, yes. That would have been a better answer.
Well, it's all fits together. Now, one of your key messages, as you said right at the beginning, Jesus is the central figure of the entire Bible.
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, you actually have to understand how it fits together to really get that. You know, Jesus is not mentioned until the New Testament, which is just really a small portion at the back of the Bible. He's not mentioned by name, but he is in God's mind, and he is in the message all the way back, beginning in Genesis chapter 3. He is in the story of Abraham. I think you see a picture of what God did to save mankind when he saved mankind through Noah. The story of Jesus is really all that the Bible is about. It is really about God delivering mankind through his Son. And it starts immediately after the fall. Even later we learn in the New Testament that everything that was created, God was created through Jesus. So the whole story is about him from beginning to end, even though he's not mentioned by name until the New Testament.
And the end of our story, as you put it, has already been written. Believers are victorious.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's we still have to get up and go to work every day, have to put on our shoes and go about business like everybody else. But the truth of the matter is troubles come, good times come to believers and to non-believers. But we believers, I say that, you know, we read the back of the book. We know that we have already won. Jesus has been victorious. And I think I said that the game, you know, the game is still being played, but we already know what the score is going to be at the end. So we need to live like victors and not victims is the real point. We need to be living victorious lives. And, you know, we don't, and unless we know, unless we're familiar with the Word, unless we understand the story of the Bible, I don't know how you can truly live understanding the victory that's already been won.
There are Bible-based self-help books. There are scholarly books. There are commentaries. What makes yours so different, so unique?
Well, you know, the thing of mine is the book I've written is really the only one I have ever found that just tells the simple story of the Bible. I actually have a book on my bookshelf, and it's a fine book. It's titled The Gist of the Bible. And wouldn't you know it, it's as thick as the Bible. So, you know, people, just people who are curious, who may be not quite mentally trained to focus to read long books, they're not going to pick up and read that unless there's some deep, deep interest. So I'm trying to whet people's appetite. I'm trying to demonstrate that, hey, there, the Bible is not just some rule book with a bunch of do's and don'ts. There's a very positive message about living a productive life, and it's in a short book. It's not some big volume, and it's just telling the simple story. And I have a few hundred books that are biblical or biblically based. And that's just the ones I have. And there's all kinds of good, helpful things about subject matters, things related to the Bible, how to improve this about yourself, what the Bible says about that. Then there's the deep study books. But this is really for people who are believers, but just really never got the story. And then it's also for people who just don't know, they kind of would want to know what the Bible's about, but they don't want to put that much effort into it, or they don't know that they want to invest that much effort into it. And so this is not, my book, please understand, is not to take the place of the Bible. It's not to take the place of Bible study. It's really just kind of to whet an appetite, to give people encouragement, to really, you know, gird up your loins and dig in and understand that you can get to meaning. You can understand it.
What was the most challenging part of writing the book?
Wow. The most challenging part was, well, you know, I mentioned that I have a book called The Gist of the Bible that turned out to be as big as the Bible. Commentaries are bigger than the Bible. So what I wanted to do was write a story, the storyline of the Bible, and it not be big. And if you go down every rabbit trail and every sub-story and really try to go in detail, you end up with a very thick book that people would, once again, perhaps be intimidated to pick up, or maybe I don't want to put that much effort in it, or maybe it begins to have too many moving parts and it's a little too complicated. So the challenge was to tell enough of the story to tie it together without using so much material that it once again got confusing. So really, the challenge was finding the right pieces that would put it together and not make it too complicated.
Wayne, we have about a minute left. Tell us what you would advise people who desire to know more to do.
Well, I would encourage anyone to read my book, obviously. But then at the end of the day, Steve, you know, there is really no free lunch. I would tell people to, number one, not get discouraged. Just read, and read 20 minutes a day, and try to read in some sort of logical order, but just commit to some small amount of time every day over time, but to sit down and try to understand it by reading through as quickly as you can is probably not the best way to get to it. I would advise somebody to start reading with the Gospels, because really and truly the thing we need to do is learn to fall in love with Jesus. You're going to learn about Jesus in the Gospels, and don't quit. Read the Gospels 20 minutes a day. That'll whet your appetite.
Well, good advice. Wayne C. Kellis, he is the author, From Chaos to Clarity, The Simplest Story Ever Told. Wayne, tell us how to get your book.
Hey, I didn't know you were going to ask that. You can buy my book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I'm hoping it'll be picked up some other stores. I'm not sure, but I know that you can get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And
you can get it from Westbow Press as well.
Westbow Press, absolutely. You can get it there. I should have mentioned that.
Well, Wayne, thank you so much for joining us on Indie Book Publishing, and this interview is brought to everyone by Westbow Press. Thank you, Wayne.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on Toginet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out her website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central, on Toginet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to Toginet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on Toginet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on Toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Energy Work 101, and the author is Todd Cunningham. And Todd joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Well, great to have you with us. This is going to be a very interesting discussion about your book. It has a great title, Energy Work 101. You'll get down to telling us about these simple steps that you're helping people change their lives. This is what you say. Energy Work 101 explains in simple steps a way to become more aware and develop your relationship with your higher consciousness and the consciousness of the earth. It is a personal manual with meditations and exercises designed to deepen your abilities and communication with extrasensory information that you already receive. Energy Work 101 guides you through the connections among our all-one universe, your higher self, your physical and emotional awareness, and the conscious awareness of our Earth. Well, that paragraph in and of itself is very comprehensive. A lot's going on in this book, this guidebook, as you put it. Todd, tell us about yourself. Give us a little thumb sketch about what you've been doing and then why you decided to publish this book.
Oh, boy. I've done a lot of skiing and also working as a whitewater river guide. And I also studied physics in college, so I have a degree in physics. And at a certain point, you know, as I was ending college and searching, you know, what am I going to do with my life next, it didn't make sense to me even way back then to try to manufacture myself into something that I was trying to be. And it sent me on a path of searching out who I was, I suppose, would be the way to say it now. And the book is as a result of that whole journey.
Well, you asked some interesting questions, like what is the most important exercise and practice described in Energy Work 101? These questions to help me better understand all that you're doing here. So what is the most important exercise and practice in your book?
Well, you know, and a little preview to that, as I was discovering things, and describing, I went to massage school and I started, you know, looking into alternative sorts of practices. And as I was describing to people that I knew from the culture that I came from, often the question was, so you're saying, Todd, if you just imagine this stuff, you know, then it will happen. And, or if you believe in it, then it will happen. And I fought that answer for a long time, and eventually I stumbled across the real answer was, well, yes, yes. You're required to get anything out of Energy Work 101 to at least entertain the idea that there's part of you that doesn't need this physical body part to exist, and then there's your physical part. And my book and the exercises in the book are mostly about how to synchronize, you know, these different parts of yourself and getting them really working together.
So you need to find what you say. You need to find what is true for you now. That's an interesting phrase. You need to become aware of what is true for you as a person now. Now tell us how that happens.
Well, the Western society that I grew up in really stresses the cognitive part and the intellectual part and the, you know, figuring out how to do something from A to Z. And, you know, then it ends up being that when I do this and therefore and when I get to this point in my life, then I'm going to be happy. And somehow I got lucky enough to ask myself the question, which is, you know, what am I happy with? And the first step in discovering what you're going to be happy with, because I don't think that anything, there's no one thing that will make anybody happy. It's what you resonate with. The first step with that is getting real. It's becoming acquainted again with whatever's going on with yourself right now. And this may be the hardest step and the bravest piece in what I'm talking about, which is getting to what's true for you right now.
And so that's not only a conscious effort, because you say your willingness to be aware. I mean, you have to be willing, and then you have to deal with, I guess, information that comes to you or feelings or how that happens for you.
Yes, yes. So, you know what, as you make this choice of, you know, maybe I'm going to try this out, that there's more to me than I've been aware of in the past. So that's maybe the first question to answer. And then the next part is to be willing to receive whatever information is coming in and to not edit it, and also to not judge it. So I think where it becomes uncomfortable is actually how we're judging what we're seeing, how our lives have been up to this point, and what the world looks like outside of us. A lot of it is what we put on it and what it means. And I'm also talking about receiving information other than what happens intellectually. It's not that that information is bad, but there's more information. And the short story of this is, you know, say, what is your gut feeling and what your heart says. So, and that, I don't even know if it happens in English, nor does it happen in something that is necessarily explainable at first. And it's personal. There's so many ways to receive this sort of information that I really believe that everyone has to learn their own language, which therefore, if you haven't been practicing for a long time, if you've kind of ignored this for a while, there can be some bumps in the road as you start. Absolutely.
As we said before, Energy Work 101 is a manual for operating your human energetics. This guide includes 10 exercise and meditations. Let's talk about grounding. First of all, what is grounding, and how does grounding affect a person's health and sense of well-being?
So grounding is consciously asking more of your higher consciousness to come and be present and be to allow yourself to be more conscious inside of your physical presence. Interestingly enough, to use an example, if somebody's really upset, we say that they're beside themselves. And so if you sense it like I do, this part of them is actually next to themselves. And so what I'm saying is, if you're willing to, you know, ask that part to come back inside and say, okay, I'm willing to experience whatever's going on with me now, that this part's much more important than figuring it out and understanding it. That will automatically kind of flow. And it's very physical, the grounding, as well. So what happens is, the word has its origins in electricity, even. And you're literally reconnecting yourself from your own source of your consciousness and through your physical self and all the way down into the earth, which is what your body's made out of course. And it's more of an allowing and a willingness as much as it is a doing and an understanding.
Interesting how you use this word energy. Interesting to me in this phrase, human energetics. Now, this energy obviously can be a very powerful force in a person's life. It may kind of scare them sometimes. I mean, is there some things that can maybe challenge a person's what they thought was true and new kind of information may kind of jolt them?
Well, I think from my perspective, there's lots of answers to that question. One, we can see in belief systems. So the culture I grew up in is there's no such thing as energy. Now, once I was done with physics class, you know, the accepted hardest science we have in the world basically says that there isn't anything but energy, right? That every subatomic particle, everything's made out of energy. So in one way, I'd love to take some of the gas out of that whole fear part in having everyone start to see that this is something that we've come to believe that's, you know, may not be as true as we think it is, you know, and therefore, what is there to fear? Everything you and everything around you is made out of the same stuff. And then I see that common thread happen in many ways of looking at the world, whether it's physics or one religion or a Native American point of view, a lot of it has a foundation in that everything comes from one source. I think if you're willing to go there, and we say that possibly this is true for a minute, the next thing that you discover is that it takes this higher consciousness, for lack of a better way to describe it, for you to feel what's your world around you and yourself. And if something is frightening and something that really scares us, one of our first reactions is to disconnect that part. And then we don't feel it anymore.
That's the unknown.
Right. So we disconnect from what's scary or uncomfortable or painful. But then our whole system suffers. It doesn't work as well. We're not as synchronized. We're not aligned with ourselves. And eventually, you know, this can become a problem all by itself. So, again, in putting it back together, there's the willingness to re-experience or to see what's, you know, been stuck or jammed or we've been disconnected from for maybe a long period of time.
So this energy and your willingness to be aware of it can literally heal your body and your mind?
Yes, if there's, you know, a part of you that's conscious that can go on without a body, there's a sidebar here, which is that it higher consciousness in our universe seems to operate in respecting free choice, in respecting free will. So in your asking your higher sources to come more consciously into your awareness, you're also giving permission. And the same thing with the earth. You're asking the consciousness of the earth, and you're giving permission. You're really reaffirming this agreement that I believe happens before you incarnate into a body in the first place, and you're allowing yourself to get conscious of this again, then, you know, the part that knows how to run your heart efficiently and the part that knows where all the molecules in your body need to go and the part that knows how to quickly process the emotional reactions you're having to whatever's going on in your life will start working more efficiently. And then the healing part is a byproduct. It's a side effect of this process.
We've been talking to Todd Cunningham. He's the author of Energy Work 101. Todd also facilitates energy healing work with individuals and groups privately and through phone and online remote sessions. So you're not only an author, but a practitioner daily, weekly.
Yes, yes. You know, we can go back to when I was finishing college, I sat down and I said, well, what will I be happy with? And I didn't know that I was doing this process to myself at the time, but all I could think of was skiing and rafting. And, you know, along the way, I learned when I realized that I wanted to help facilitate people through these processes that I've learned, you know, you wake up one day and realize that I'd been doing it, taking people down the river and helping them learn how to ski. I'd been doing it for a long time. I just wasn't this aware of it myself.
Todd, tell us how to get your book, Energy Work 101.
You can get it right through my website, which is personalgrounding.com. It's also available through Balboa Press, and it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and places like this. And by all means, please ask your local bookstore to find it for you.
We appreciate you being with us, Todd, on Indie Book Publishing. This interview with Todd Cunningham, author of Energy Work 101, is brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you so much, Todd.
Thank you very much, Steve. It was my pleasure.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Talking to Yourself is Not Crazy. Changing Your Inner Dialogue, Take Control of Your Life. And the author is Dr. Larry Markson. And Dr. Markson joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Dr. Markson.
Hi there.
Good to have you with us. You're going to teach us how to talk to ourselves. A very important true principle, as you will give from personal experience in your life. Let me read what you have written about your book, though, so everyone understands in general what we're going to talk about. You say this, talking to yourself is not crazy. We'll show the readers how to talk to themselves in such a way that they can end their past stories and begin their new life, one of happiness, creativity, prosperity, success, and personal fulfillment. It will show how to talk to yourself happy, talk to yourself wealthy, talk to yourself successful, and talk to yourself into the future that you desire, and in fact, the one you deserve. Well, that's all we, I guess, want out of life. There, you've summed it up. We want to be successful, wealthy, happy. And you say it is all geared to how we talk to ourselves.
Well, I do say that it's all in your head. You know, I mean, success, health, happiness, prosperity, and fulfillment is in the 6 inches between your head. And what I didn't know when we spoke before, I told you that I had failed for the first 29 years of my life. I wasn't, I failed in business. I failed in marriage. I failed financially. I didn't know how to be a father. I came from the typical dysfunctional family, you know, which is the buzzword today. And then one day, a friend of mine got me started on, by taking me to a seminar, a self-help seminar, which actually and legitimately started me on the path of this study that I've been on for more than 40 years now, is how, if you change your thinking, can you change your life? If you take your thoughts and purposely make those thoughts into new beliefs and take action steps that are commensurate and in synergy with those new beliefs, what would happen as an end result? In other words, we've all heard, your thoughts create your reality. So I talk to myself every day. And I don't think I'm crazy. My wife does, but I don't think I am. I do affirmations daily. I write specific goals. I monitor them. I spend hours visualizing. In other words, picturing what I want as if I already had it. Because the human mind, Steve, worked in pictures and visualizations, not in words. And there's two brains, as most of the people out there know. There's a left brain and a right brain. The left brain is mathematical, it's equations, it's languaging, it dots the I's and crosses the T's, it thinks of things, it weighs the balances, adds up the facts. And the right brain, which I did not use in my first 29 years, is the brain of creation. The right brain, the right brain hears the music, and the left brain writes the notes on a musical staff. The right brain sees a building or a canvas filled with something, and the left brain paints it. So it's the visualization, and I learned to do that. And I talk to myself all the time, and I do it mostly. I start every day with an affirmation. I start every day with some sort of an exercise to calm my left brain, that chatter. I can't do this. Who do you think you are? You know, a woman's place is in the home. Men don't cry, and all that nonsense that we learned. And so my belief system, Steve, is that if we can change the way we think, by talking to ourselves, by convincing ourselves there's a new and better way, then things will begin to shift, and it's inevitable that we'll be on a different plateau. I think talking to yourself promotes self-confidence, and it becomes gives you a positive perspective. And so my life has been devoted to doing this to people, and I watch it happen. I've had 25,000 clients, and I watch them go from typical rags to riches, Horatio Alger's success stories, although it may not be only in business. It may be a poor marriage becomes better, poor relationships with children and relatives become better, lack of self-confidence, procrastination, negative things like a poor self-image and procrastination and inability to make a decision and inability to confront the things that you want to become easier. So the first three ingredients of success, I believe, Steve, are decisiveness, the ability to make a decision, which many people in the world and listening to this radio broadcast do not have. Then to be able to confront things in your life, to handle them without negative and without fear. And finally, the massive action steps that you need to take to move ahead. And so many people that I've counseled have worry and fear and guilt and all these leftover childhood emotions. So my belief, Steve, is that we were trained by our MFTPs, mothers, fathers, teachers, and preachers. Mom, of course, the strongest influence. Dad, the old-fashioned disciplinarian. Teachers, not only teachers in school, but peer pressure, newspapers, experience, our teachers. And preachers, not only clergy, but people that have chirped at you long enough to train you a certain way so that you believe things. And here's my story. I believe that we believe, all of us, things to be true that are not true, but because we think they are true, we act on them as if they're true, only to find out they're wrong. So my way of looking at this is to retrain ourselves to what we believe, to what is actually true, to what's inside us, to how we express ourselves as we move ourselves from the nature of the beasts, which means just survival level thinking, to the nature of the gods, which means in tune with the universe and all natural laws and things of that nature.
Well, dreams then.
Too short question.
Right. Well, that was great. Dreams then can come true. It's not just a fairy tale, but it takes work. It's a process. You're one of your sections of your book, opening your mind so you can have it your way. Now, interesting list of sections there. Tell us about it's the who, not the do. That one caught my attention.
It means it's who you are inside your skin and not what you do that makes you successful. Who you are that indicates what your belief systems are, whether you have integrity or no integrity, whether you are a couch potato or action-oriented, if you're really generous, if you really forgive people. So it's who you are and not what you do. One is strategy-based, one is identity-based. Strategy-based means tell me what to do, right? The identity base of who you are is not the do, it's the who. It's the mantra of this generation is, tell me what to do to be more successful. Tell me what to do to get happier. Tell me what to do to get more money. And I'm saying to you, I failed big time learning how to do that until I decided to change who I was. And so although painful, once I discovered that I was responsible for my own success, and all the listeners, you may not like this, and you may lay it off and blame other people and situations and events, but I discovered that I was indeed responsible for my own success and own failure. And then I write in my book, oh no, please say that's not true. Because nobody wants to take responsibility for their failure, but we always take responsibility for our success. I got an A and the teacher gave me a C type thing. So I made a decision to work on me diligently on who I was. And I know it wasn't easy. So who I was, my concepts and my visions and my beliefs, my securities and insecurities, my lack of confidence, my fear of rejection, my inability to confront people, the words I selected, the methods of my expression, the limited thinking I had. So I started to do it, Steve, by hanging around other people who were more successful than I was in any aspect of my life. So that I can, and this is the important part for the listening audience, so that I could copy, mimic, plagiarize, steal, and model the attitudes, actions, and procedures of people who are more successful than I was in any dimension of my behavior, which is why it took me 40 years.
So we don't have to recreate the wheel. It's all there. All these models are around us. And, of course, your book gives us a step-by-step guide, a model, if you will. Give us an example of a self-affirmation addressing some problem in our life.
Okay, so I would say, I don't do it that way on a specific problem, but you can. So I think affirmations are positive thinking methods of repeating with regularity the words and the phrases and the emotions to make you start to believe differently. So positive affirmations to me could be very simple. That saying like, I am wonderful, I am confident, I'm self-assured, I am worthy, I am wealthy, I have courage, I'm able to love, I can knock this one out of the park, I can do anything I want to do. That's the simple part of an affirmation. But also you could do it, I am a healthy, vital, active, and successful human being. So you can do it in sentence form. I feel better now. Nature uses the food that I eat and the air that I breathe and the water that I drink to rest and rebuild and repair and revitalize me for the future. So you could say it's just positive statements reaffirmed over and over. Example, here is one of my favorites that I do, very short so the audience can get it. I wake up every morning, I open my eyes, and I've trained myself to say the following. Something great is going to happen to me today. And at the end of the day, I pick whatever it is, a putt that I made on the golf course, a parking spot that all of a sudden appeared, a great conversation with a friend, whatever. I pick something, so every night I go to sleep and I say, wow, that happened to me and it was great, made me feel good, was successful. So I review my successes at the end of the day, but I start the day by saying I'm going to have something successful. And I learn fear, for instance, guilt, which is I was raised by the queen of guilt until I realized one day it had no value. It only made me feel bad. My mother used to say, "What you forgot my birthday," which I rarely did because I was afraid. But if I did, when she was 90-something years of age, I used to visit her, and she'd say, "Hi, how long are you going to visit me?" And I said, "Well, probably about an hour today." And she says, "Well, if you're only going to come for an hour, why come at all?" Which is guilt. And I found out it only hurt me. It had no value. So I decided no longer to have guilt in my life. And I did the same thing with fear. Fears of acceptance and rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of failure. You know, all the things that I teach in my cabin experience and that are in this book.
You have another section. It's titled Concepts, Thoughts, and Ideas to Reflect Upon as You Retrain and Reprogram Your Mind for Health, Wealth, Happiness, and Success.
Yes.
So tell us, Dr. Markson, tell us about, let's see, I'll pick out a title here. How about Purge Your Brain? That sounds like a painful process.
Well, just as we purge computers when they fill up and you get rid of all the unnecessary and stored information that's clogging up your computer, I'm saying purge your brain. Learn how to let go. I think an easy way to say it, your past. Forget your past and move into the future. You know, in other words, leave the things that you're trapped in the negative environments backward and build a set for your future. You know, meaning moving forward. And you know what I think, Steve? I think it's all about self-confidence. I think that's a word we hear every day, and we acknowledge it as being a terrific characteristic of a personality, but it's really misunderstood. It's definitely one of the major catalysts for success and the antithesis of what I'm talking about, which is fear. So self-confidence, I know time is short, is an internal mindset that grows by having the right attitude to begin with and then fostered by all the achievements that come as a result of that self-confidence. Acting one step bigger than you feel. Being aware of where you are in the environment. So purging your brain just means get rid of the stuff from the past. They are lessons. There are no mistakes in this universe. They're only lessons. So every time something doesn't go well in my life, I say, let me get rid of that past thinking. How do I purge my brain from this? And what new selection of a positive thought can I put in its place?
We just have a couple minutes left. How about emotions overcome logic? Sometimes people would think emotions, that would be, that would interfere.
That's right. Well, they do. Emotions overcome logic. So if it's logical, for instance, I'm going to make something up, that I should not drink, and I know that I'm a drinker. Every alcoholic knows they're a drinker. You know I'm a drinker, but the emotions, so I decide not to drink and I walk away, and then somehow I find my emotions, my need to have a drink, the habit to come back. So the emotions of want or need or desire overcome the logic of what you think is right or wrong. You know, you fall in love with someone and your parents tell you shouldn't do that. It's the wrong person. But the emotions overcome all the logic that you know about any situation. So emotions do overcome logic. And I'm saying, all right, let's get in control of our emotions. Let us control our lives and our feelings and our viewpoints and our anticipations. And then the logic lines up to that.
The title of the book, Talking to Yourself is Not Crazy. Change Your Inner Dialogue. Take Control of Your Life. The author is Dr. Larry Markson. Dr. Markson, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can go to Amazon.com. That's easy. Or Balboa Press. You can go on Balboa Press and just hit the bookstore, and you can find it that way. Or Barnes & Noble, any one of those.
Well, thank you very much for being with us today on Indie Book Publishing and this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you, Dr. Markson.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure being here.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.